Amen. I was telling Brother Bill a little bit ago that I think maybe in May, I think it's the week of the 18th, that may have revival. I got to check with my pastor. I know he said he would do it, and I believe he could do it that week because they got homecoming that Sunday, and where he could be here that Sunday night. So, plus two, I know that Brother Bill said something about me preaching, doing some preaching too. So, but we'll just do as the Lord leads. And, you know, we really do need to get in here with, get our hearts ready for revival, in which we should always, as Christians, be in the revival mode or state or whatever, but we should always be in revival within our own selves. Because revival is for the individual. Plus two is for the body of Christ. And when I mean the body of Christ, I mean the church. The church as a whole. But we need to really pray for revival. That not, and we don't need to just pray for revival for here, but pray for revival in the country and around. But you know, I thought about some things this week, and you know, I have come to the realization that with what God's doing with some of the churches, and we know in the last days that perilous times is coming, and we're living in them perilous times. I don't believe they're coming any longer. I believe we're right here at it. But we can go over there in Timothy, and we can see, talk about the perilous times and some of the things that's happened, but it's just as much up to date as it was the day that the Holy Spirit gave men to write the Word of God for us to look at and to be able to read and have our faith and put our trust in. And it's just as much up to date as anything that I know of. But I want to start with chapter 3 in the book of John. And I got a couple verses right here I want to read, but then I'm going to go over to the book of Revelation. But it says right here, it says in John chapter 3, and that's where I'm aiming to go, but I'm going to go and I'm going to do as the Lord leads and as the Spirit leads me. So I may not get there. And if I don't, that's okay, but y'all pray for me this morning that I will follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the leadership of the Lord each and every time. But here in chapter 3 is speaking about Jesus and Nicodemus and the new birth. And you know the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one that's brought about the new birth for the non-believer and what he done there at Calvary. But it says in verse 1, says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeneth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? We'll bring a message on that thought. How can these things be? How has the church got in the situation that it's in? How has the United States, a God-fearing nation that one time, how come it's got to the place where it's at? What is wrong with the Christians? What is wrong with us today? First of all, I don't see that where there's many anymore that is obeying God and that is obeying this book, that is obeying the Word of God. We don't see that much anymore because we can see and we hear preachers, and they will preach and they will take the verse out of context, and they will not preach what it's saying at that particular time. But we must obey the Word of God. Nicodemus, he didn't really know anything about being saved. He didn't understand what the Lord Jesus was telling him. He didn't understand it. Neither did I. I didn't understand anything that Brother James Hughes was telling me that night about salvation. I didn't understand it. I didn't know anything about it. But it was something that was inside of me that was just wanting to come forth. And that was the conviction of the Holy Spirit. As long as we obey God's word as Christians, the Holy Spirit is going to deal with us. When we get away from God and we get away from God's word, then eventually the Holy Spirit is also going to get away from us. He's not going to convict us anymore. But I believe with the understanding of God's word that we as Christians, we have allowed some things to creep into our lives that we're not allowing to happen anymore in church and in the services. The first one, I believe that we don't want to allow anymore in any churches. Now, I'm saying that this is not, I pray it's not. I don't believe it is. That it's not one of them. And I'm not saying that I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure. But I'm praying that it's not within the people that's here right now. But I believe this. To obey God's word, we must treat individuals different than we ever have before. We must love them more than we have before. We must also not only love them, but we need to allow ourselves to show something that we care from them. Over there in the book of Proverbs, it says, I can't think of where the verse is there, but the verse says, to show thyself friendly. We must show ourselves friendly. We must allow the friendship of God to come forth out of our lives and to show it upon people. And it says in verse 119 and verse 11, in Psalms it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Well, if we're Christian and we say we don't love one another, if we don't love the brother or the sister in the Lord, and I'll go further than that, if we don't love the individual I hear that is despitefully using us, despitefully using the church, despitefully using the Lord, if we do not love them in a way that they can see something different in our lives, then we have sinned against God. Because God, the Father, He is love. That's how you spell God, I believe, is L-O-V-E. That's God. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, L-O-V-E. Why? Because He loved me. He loved you enough. He loves the sinner that's walking up and down the street, I hear. We must show ourselves friendly to people. We must allow people to see our lives in the way that we need to, the way that we should walk for the Lord Jesus. We should not come into the house of God just to come in and wave our hand and sing, oh, how I love Jesus, victory in Jesus, and amazing grace, and then go back out and won't speak to people. We should not do that, because that's what you call as a hypocrite. And we have too many hypocrites today. We have people out here and will say, well, I ain't going to church with them. I know them. They come into church and say amen, and they'll sing and all that and everything, and they'll come and shake my hand and everything. But yet, out in the world, you can't get them to say anything at all about God. They want to run God down. Why do I don't need to go and be with a bunch of hypocrites in church. I can be with a bunch of hypocrites out here in the world. That's right. Sure can. But I believe this. The individual that's in church, that hypocrite's closer to God than what he was. And hopefully within time, that hypocrite would get over some of the things that they have learned, some of the things that they have backed away from. We back away from God's word. Why do we back away from God's word? Because it deals with us. It deals with us individually. It deals with me individually. But Nicodemus, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He wanted to show Nicodemus something. And He was telling Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, he didn't understand it. He says, how can an individual be born a second time? And he didn't get into the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave him a simple answer to all of that. He didn't get into no second birth and all of that. He got in and he told him where he would come from, what would happen to his life. But it says on down here, it says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, And that which is born in the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. That's the only way that anybody is going to ever get into the glory of heaven, is they have to be born again. Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeneth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. That is speaking about the Holy Spirit, speaking about the Holy Ghost of God. We cannot see the Holy Spirit. We cannot see the Holy Ghost, but we know that it lives within our heart. We know that it lives within our soul. Why? Because we feel the presence there. I feel him in my soul each and every day. He touches me. He touches my life every day that I go through. Why? Because he is real. Some people call it the Holy Spirit, a Holy Ghost, an it. The Holy Ghost is no it. The Holy Ghost is no maybe. The Holy Ghost is a he. Just like the Son of the living God is a he. Just like God the Father is a he. But everybody else wants to bring him down to their level. Did you realize that until an individual comes to the point in their life and they realize that they're lost, that's the only time that they can get saved, when they realize that they're lost, that they need a Savior? But up until that time, I'll say this much, and I'll go back to what they say, want to say what the Holy Ghost is, an it. That's what I was. That's what I was. I was serving the devil. I was an it out here. It's all I was. It's just somebody just placed right there. I was an it. I had no purpose. What's my purpose today? My purpose today is to see souls being saved. My purpose today is to see where the house of God can be, not just where den of thieves come in and want to rob and steal from the people that's in here, but a place where people can come in and they don't mind coming, getting up and coming to the altar, coming to the front of the church and praying for a loved one, praying for the mother, praying for the father or the daughter or the son or the child. Now, Brother Bill and Sister Donna's daughter, I believe God is touched. Doctors cannot do things that goes on today within the people when they go to the doctor. Because what are they? They are nothing but an assistant. They are an assistant to God. And they have to obey God. If they want the outcome to be effective in what they're trying to do, they have got to look to God. And they do in a way. One, hey, I can remember a couple up there in the hospital there, me and somebody who went up there to visit them, and they said that this couple that was there and said that the mother was having surgery there in the hospital, and said they talked to the doctor, the surgeon, before they had the surgery and everything. And the surgeon told the parents there and told the son and the daughter-in-law, said, if I don't do the surgery, it won't get done. If I can't help them, if I don't get in and do it, it won't get done. He didn't believe in God. And basically that's what he told them. He says, God can't do what I can do. I'm the one that's holding this, the scaffold.
You know what the son said?
Which I maybe would have said and looked up on the curtain, he said. But he said, you just won't believe. I ain't said to go back to my father or my mother either one. But you know what he said. Because if you go in and do the surgery, you're going to mess up. Be dependent on your own self.
He said, no, he's no weapon. We can't cancel surgery now.
He said, well, I'm canceling it for you. And they went and got another surgeon.
And you know what the other surgeon done? The first thing he could done? He come in there and had prayer with them. And that surgeon knew where his help come from. That surgeon knew where the power was at. That surgeon knew that he was just an instrument in God's sight that day. He was just an instrument there. And God was leading. God was guiding. Because he says, there's no doctor. No doctor, no medical field. He says, all the signs come if you want to. They've never come up with anything to where they can a place on your belly, on your arm, or anywhere they can mend the flesh back together. Nowhere. God is the only one that can mend the flesh back together. Yes, I can go in and do the surgery. I can go in and correct maybe what's wrong with God's help.
God does the rest.
And if God can do that, as big as God is, shouldn't we believe Him that yes, God can bring back the people that He wants here? Not the people that we want, but the people that He wants here. God can bring them back. We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is pray. And we have to be in prayer by doing it. Now, I look at prayer maybe a little different than a whole lot of people. But that's me. But in which and I believe you have scripture to back it up. But it says in verse 15 that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that what? He gave His only begotten Son that Donald Mahan believeth in Him. And while Donald Mahan believeth in Him, he shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Have eternal life. How long is everlasting life? How long is eternal life? It's forever. How long is forever? Forever. How long is forever? It's forever. How long is forever? It's forever. For eternal life. It's eternity. It's eternity. And I'm going to spend it. Woo, glory to God. I'm going to spend it with my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. The one that went to the cross and died and shed His blood for me. That I could escape the penalties of the death of hell. And I ain't got to worry about that anymore. I ain't got to worry about hell for my own self. But yes, I do worry about it for other people. That yes, I need to do what I can do. You need to do what you can do. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for them. We need to call them out by name. And then says, God, now you go to work. Because we've given God work to do. Oh, in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, there's three words there. It says, prove me now. That's what we need to do. We don't want to say, well, God, I'm sorry, but I just don't understand why you are doing this way. God, I don't understand why Faith Baptist Church has got to the point they don't have about 7 or 8, maybe 9, 10 people coming. I don't understand it, God. But what's going on, God? Can you let me know? Can you let the people know? Hey, God, the people here is faithful. See, God knows all about that. But see, God wants us to tell him what's on our heart. Yes, it may sound foolish after we say it. Because see, God knows all about it, doesn't he? God knows all about it. God knows about everything that goes on. It's nothing that we can do. He even got next Easter planned out. He's even got the months ahead of me planned out. He's got the months of you planned out. He's got the revival services planned out. And we have to listen to him. We have to hear that small, still voice from heaven. And when we can hear that small, still voice from heaven, and he will say, then you know that it's me. It's God. I'm listening. And yes, I'm faithful and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And I'm not going to let you down. Has God ever let you down? Has God ever let me? No, he's never let me down. Sometimes I think he has. Because of the way some things has happened in my life and in my ministry and everything. Yes, I'm human. And I'm going to have these thoughts. You are too. And he knows that. But he knows the intent of our heart. See, one thing about God, God looks on the heart. We think we look on the heart. No, we don't look on the heart. You know what we do? A whole lot of times. Our mind gets ahead of a heart. And when a mind gets ahead of the heart, that's when we get in trouble. That's when I get in trouble the most. It's when I allow my mind to get ahead of God. We need to show people how to be saved. And not only that, I believe too, after an individual gets saved, whether it's in church or whether it's outside the doors of the church house, we should not just say, now you defend for yourself. No. They don't know what to do. That's just like it. That's just like it. Newborn baby, when that newborn baby comes home, that newborn baby, if your mother don't hold that baby, what's going to happen? That baby's going to start crying. Did you realize people are here when he gets saved? They're out here. Next thing you know, they don't have no call from a church. They'll start crying. Well, I thought the church, I thought they cared for me. You know, they come and showed me how to get saved. But you know, I don't really know if they even care for me anymore. Only thing that they was just wanting to do is just get me saved where I could just be at the church. No. They don't care for me. Why I need to go back to church? That's the way people think. We need to do what we can to keep what we have. We can lose it a whole lot quicker than we ever received it. And then one of these days, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You'll never find in the gospel, you'll never find anywhere where the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. And he brings up himself about me, about what I've done. No, he didn't say the will of him that sent me and to finish my work. No. That's over there in chapter 4 and verse 34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Do the will of who? The Father. Because the Father is the one that sent the Lord Jesus Christ. And to finish my work? No. The Father's the one sent him. So he came to finish the work of the Father, to finish his work. So it's not that I'm, as long as I'm here, as long as I'm breathing, I'm supposed to go about doing what the Father has led me to do, has spoken to my heart about doing, and that's seeing people saved, that's seeing the church house back to where it used to be at one time. I mean, I would love it. Nothing would thrill my heart anymore than to see that this church be packed completely out. And then have people come, I mean, if y'all happen to vote me in as pastor and say, and y'all come to me and say, well, pastor, you know something? I think we're just going to have to. We got some of the money now. We got the money now. We got a packed house. Says, I think we need to go out here and start adding on to the church. We need to buy some more land, build another church. You know what I believe we need to do? Sunday school needs to start teaching. Preaching us need to start preaching about God dealing with some man, some individual. Is God calling them to preach? If he is, if he raises up somebody within a church, then you need to go ahead and you need to take and you need to find a building and you need to open another building from somewhere close, not that close by, but around and go and help them to establish a new work. I know I've just been saved since 1980. In which since 1980, I haven't seen or haven't heard that many of them anymore. Where the church would go out here and start a sister church. But that's what they used to do. That's what they used to do. I mean, You had Billy Sunday. You had D.L. Moody. They was the one going around and preaching the gospel. They was one going around and helping the church to where the people could come in. Why? Because they was fireball. They was on fire for God. And they had people praying for them. I read a book there one time. Well, I still got it at the house. And I've read it. And might start back reading it again because it was good when I read it. Brother D.L. Moody said, there in Chicago, says after he resigned the church and went into full-time evangelism, says about 2 years later they called him and asked him would he come and hold a week's revival. He said, yeah, on one condition. The pastor's church says, what's the condition? He said, well, since I've been in evangelistic work and since I've been traveling all over the country and everything, the first couple churches that I went to and held revival, I held revival and it seemed like if people just, they just won't, they didn't care or they just won't get in it. And I just, one of them, I just felt like leaving the first night. This was D.L. Moody now. It had the great big church up in Chicago he pastored. But said after the second church meeting that he had and holding revival all week, he went home that Friday afternoon that the book said he went home and said he got down on his knees in his study there at the house. He told his wife, I'm going to shut the door. I'm going to cut the ringer off on the phone. I don't want nobody. I don't want to speak to nobody. I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to come back out until I get an answer from God. He said he went in there and prayed. He said, God, I thought that I was doing what you wanted me to do. And that was to go out into full-time evangelism. He said, but God, the first, I ain't had but two meetings. And to me, it wasn't no revival in them meetings at all. It was just a series of going and preaching. That's all it was. And he prayed, and he prayed, and he read scripture. And he prayed, and he read scripture, and he prayed. He read scripture, and he prayed. He said, after about 2 hours, he was there at his desk, praying, and had his Bible open. And he noticed on his Bible that tears had got down on the pages, and he knew if he went and touched it, it was going to tear the pages because it's got so damp with his tears. So he kept on praying. He kept on crying. He wanted God to give him an answer. Because he told God, he said, God, if I don't get an answer, I'm not going to take no meetings until you give me another answer. I've got to have an answer. I need an answer. He said he'd been back there for about 2.5, maybe 3 hours praying and agonizing over it. And he said a small, still voice spoke to him. He said, yes, sir. I will do that. Thank you, sir. You're my father. He got up, went into the kitchen and ate him about the meal, and it was cold and everything. He didn't ask his wife to warm it up or nothing. He was just blessed to have the meal, if it was cold or what. Tastes good or not, he was just blessed. So he had a meeting the next week. Because at that time, he started out having meetings every week. He was supposed to have a meeting, start on Monday night. He called the pastor on Saturday morning of that church. And he told him, he said, "Pastor, I told you that I'd be there Monday." But I got something I need to ask you. He says, "Have you got some people in your church? Some men? You got some ladies in your church that can get by themselves and don't mind just maybe being out of the service one night that week, somebody else take it another night, and somebody else take it another night. But while I'm preaching, I've got to have people praying for me." He said, "I'll see what I can do." He got there Monday night. And the people said that they've been praying for him and everything, for the message and everything. But they just wouldn't leave him and go out. So, I don't know how long it was from then on before his home church called him and asked him. Would he come? I don't know if it was the next week or whatever. He says, "I will come on one condition." He said, "What's that condition?" "I know the people there. And I know you still got some there. You need to get some men together. Let them get by themselves. Down in the boiler room where they... any room back out. And you need to get some ladies in one of the classrooms. Pray while I'm preaching. That's the only way I'll come." He said, "Yes, sir." He says, "I sure will." Because see, dear Brother Moody, he knew that he could get them out, but he had to have the pastor to ask him. So he did. They was there. All week long now, they had people come in. The house was packed out. It was over 1,000 people come every night there in Chicago. People getting saved here and there. They was getting saved as they was going out the door and everything. Friday night, this elderly gentleman, Brother D.L. Moody, said this elderly gentleman come to him. He looked like he was probably in his 70s, maybe 80s back then. Come up to him and asked him, and I'm closing with this thought. Asked him, says, "Brother Moody," he says, "when you started preaching Monday night, I could feel the power of God all over you. I could feel that something came down from heaven and just surrounded you there in the pulpit as you was preaching." Says, "Can you tell me what caused it?" He said, "Well, can you step over here a little ways and let me shake some more people's hands and these few more people's hands, and I'll talk to you about it." Because he wanted him to understand. He wanted him to get the gist of what he was talking about. So he shook other people's hand, and they went on, and one knows about it there, but the pastor and Brother D.L. Moody and this elderly gentleman. Brother Moody took him by the hand. He said, "Sir, you need to come with me." So the first thing he done, he took him downstairs in the basement. Walked the back of the church. Walked through the door back out. And it won't nothing but, it won't no air conditioning, won't nothing but an old time boiler. And the boiler was going and working and everything. And he said, "Wait a minute. What you taking me back here for?" You know, the elder man getting a little on the spooky side, you know. He said, "Well, you just come on back here and I'll show you the reason that I could preach just as hard on Friday night as I could on Monday night." Said he went back out. He said, "Brother Moody, we gotta leave." He said, "I hear something back there. What's going on back there? I don't know what's going on." He said, "Well, there ain't nothing gonna bother you. I'll protect you. Don't worry about that." He said, "All right." So went on back. Brother Moody stood right outside of where the wall was, separating this one little area from that, from the boiler. He says, "You hear it now?" He said, "Sound like some men back there." He said, "Yes, sir, you're right." He says, "They was back there praying for the service. They was praying for me. Because I knew that I couldn't do it alone. They knew that I needed help from above. And they done it all week. Some of the men that was there that night, they were still there the way up in the night, and they would be back the next night, and they were still good downstairs. And someone would stay upstairs, but somebody else would take their place." And he said, "But ain't the half of it." He said, "But back in one of them rooms back there, way back in the back there. It's a room back out where they used to have classrooms years ago, but they don't have nothing back there now. Because at the time we thought we were going to have to end up using it to expand the boiler room and put some more heaters in there, whatever." He says, "But the ladies was in there. They was also praying for me." He said, "Takes the power of God. It takes the power of God to do His work. It takes the power of God to speak to people. It takes the power of God." I know I've asked y'all this, I don't care how many times, but I'm not going to quit asking. Never will. Always have our lives. How many in here want to see God do something that you haven't seen Him do here at Faith Baptist in a while? Yes, He's been with you, but some things that maybe you haven't seen in a while. Maybe it's been several months you haven't seen happen. I believe that this is where everything starts at. It's at the front of the church. I believe that with all my heart and all my soul. Yes, I know you can pray right there where you at. You can. But I believe it shows God something, and it tells God something about us. Indeed, that it will be faithful.
And we don't have to move all this money. We don't have to come to the altar. All we have to do is move up one pew. They really mean business. They're coming to the front. They want something to happen. And God, we know that you can do it. And the only thing that we can do is just trust in you. By faith.
Father God, that you would help him. Father, what he does, and everything, Father, that you ask him to do, Lord Jesus, we pray, Father, to guide, direct him, lead him, and that way. Father, for each one of the other individuals this year, Lord Jesus, we pray for them. We lift them up to you. Father, because of your love and your presence. And Father, for what you've done for them. Father, you do not have to send your Son, Jesus Christ, to the whole of your cross. But Father, we come to find out that you loved us more than what we ever expected. And Father, even though your Son is hanging on the cross, your Son called us his friends. And Father, we ask, Lord, that you be with each and every one of the individuals. We don't know what's on their hearts. Father, yes, maybe some may be struggling financially. Lord, we pray, Father, that you'll discuss our finances. And Father, we ask, Lord, that you would just give them, Father, what they need. Well, I know it's a whole lot of things that, yes, you look to me and we say that we need, but a whole lot of times it's what we want. But Father, we do know, Lord Jesus, you want to supply me. Lord Jesus, we pray, Father, for each one of the individuals today. We pray, God and Father, that they will go about, Father, speaking about the Bible. And Lord, we know that Brother Jenny, he cannot come. And I cannot come. And I cannot bring the Bible in a sick case. And Father, and just give it, and open it up and just say, man, you can have the Bible. No, it has to come from heaven. Through the Holy Spirit, Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. It's going to speak to each one of our hearts about our own revival that we have individually. And Father, as the body of Christ, we pray, Father, for revival of you. The Lord Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will go about, Father, and touching life and letting people know the Son is happening in faith. Something that has been a while it seems. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just help them, speak to the heart, Father. Burden them down, Father. Let them know that they need to come at least one night during the revival, and Father, and they need to come at one of the services we have now during Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday evening, Father. Father, that they may come and hear about the things that's going on. Yes, Father, as far as me and the other people here, as far as what we see around us, we may not see no effect of what's going on. But Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that you can see the effect of what's going on because your people are serving you. And let us be as people that will love one another. that we cannot gossip about someone or talk about other people. And Father, yes, and I'm included in that. Father, also, yes, Lord, help me that I won't talk about other people. Help me, Lord, that I won't gossip. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd be with these individuals today. As they go to their home, we pray, Father, that you would give them the rest that they need this afternoon. Father, give them the meal that you would have them to be able to eat upon. Father, that will bring strength to the body. Father, once again, we just want to thank you for being in the house of God. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, as the people drive by faith back, during the day that they can sense and they can feel the Spirit of God. And Father, not only that, as the people drive by in the afternoon and dark, Lord, that they can see a light. Where the lighthouse is shining, Father, that they know that they can come in. They can come in on Wednesday evening, Father, into the emergency room that they can bring their cares and bring their burdens to you. Father, yes, I know that we can bring our prayers and our burdens to you, Lord, anywhere we're at. I know that. And I realize that, Father. But I think, Father, it's the best place that I can think of is to bring them is in the house of God. Father, where they're praying, and Father, where Lord, yes, if they want to, they can share it with other people. Father, we can pray together. But Father, what we're looking for now, we're looking for an old-time Holy Ghost blood-bought revival that can stir our hearts and stir our souls, Father. Father, we're going to thank you now for what you're going to accomplish and what you're going to do. Because, Father, we know that you're going to do the work, Father, that no one else can do. And I know, Father, it's going to be a glorious work because you are doing the work. So we're going to thank you ahead of time for them souls that's going to be saved. We're going to thank you, Father, ahead of time for the individuals that comes in that hasn't visited lately or even hasn't been in church at all lately or hasn't even been here at all, Father. We pray, Father. And Lord Jesus, we look into thee for you to do the work. Father, the only thing we can do is just pray and sow the seed. Lord God, you're the only one that can give the increase. You're the only one that can bless the service. We just want to thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Praise God.